The fact that Clean Start exists, first of all, I would like us to know that it was born out of pain and outrage.
I'm Paul Dash, Associate Professor of Political Science at McAllister College and Advisory Board Member of Children of Incarcerated Caregivers. Today we are learning about Clean Start Kenya, an organization based in Nairobi that works with women and children impacted by the criminal justice system, supporting programs for successful reintegration at every level. My guest is Terry Nyaoro, Program Officer at Clean Start Kenya, with over 10 years of experience working with justice-impacted women and children as a coach, mentor, counselor, and caseworker. Terry, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you so much.
To begin, can you tell us about Clean Start Kenya's mission and how you came into this work?
Clean Start's mission, we work with women and children who are impacted by the criminal justice system to restore dignity and hope for successful reintegration. How I came into this work, I happened to be going to prison to encourage women. And by that time, Teresa was still in prison serving her time. And we had a program. We were five volunteer women who just visit the prisons just to encourage the women. So she got into one of our classes, and that is where I met Teresa. So after that, she got to come out the same year, and she wanted to start an organization, which she was already thinking about. She asked us to guide her through what happens within the corridors of prison and the stakeholders. So we took her hands and we began supporting her. By then, she was calling it Support Me With My Shoe. So I saw it right from the onset when she just came up. She said, Terry, come and help me so that we can continue helping women to reintegrate successfully. Now, in my area of work, I first of all started as a coach when Clean Start was starting, and we coached women and officers basically to check on their attitudes, to set goals, and to be able to bring confidence back to the women. But then later on, as years continued to move, we noticed that there were gaps in the reintegration space. So now we are focusing more on women and the children. So that's just a background of how I came to start at Clean Start. And I have been there since, continuing to serve the women, the children, and the girls in the juvenile justice system.
And so that was over 10 years ago. Tell me a bit more about the work you've done as a program officer and how that's evolved and the programs that you support.
When we began, we just used to see, to go and talk to the women. But we realized that there was so much more to do. Every time we went, we were able to see gaps, and we needed to address those gaps. So first we started by coaching. But we realized that the women were getting, yes, they were getting confident. Their mindsets were changing. But then now coming outside, there was a big gap. They did not have people who could receive them coming outside. So then we began to think about the programs that can support them. So at Clean Start, we have Circles of Healing, which is a program that's fosters successful reintegration by reconciling an imprisoned and a formerly imprisoned woman with herself, her family, and the community. Usually when a woman is arrested, she has so many issues and challenges. And so when they come out, they meet with other imprisoned women in peer-led spaces where they gain psychosocial support, trauma, and healing, so that they can be able to find themselves back into their feet. So these spaces provide groundwork for reconciliation, mental wellness, and a place where they can set their goals. So that is one of the programs, and we call it Ufunuo. It is a 6-week program that runs inside the prisons and outside the prison, just to ensure that this lady reconciles with herself, her family, and the community. We have a program called Tables of Support. And for this program, we seek to build the economic resilience and the livelihood security of imprisoned and formerly imprisoned women. So they are strategically positioned. After they have undergone the trauma and healing counseling, we now take them through programs that would help them receive seed capital to start businesses, build their skills, just for them to be able to survive on the outside. And then last but not least, we also have the halfway program. And this one, we realized that when women come outside, some of them have no families to go back to. So we have we already bought a land, and we are looking for, we are still getting resources to build a space where these women can come. Those who do not have a space where they can go, they can come there and have skills training there. They can also continue with their healing for trauma. We are intending to have business hubs and a community center for these women.
Can you tell me a little bit about how any of these programs or other work support children of these imprisoned mothers? What's the impact on children?
Yeah, one other program that I hadn't talked about is about the children. And on the children department, what we do is that we work with children accompanying their mothers to prison to ensure positive outcomes in their child's later years by intervening in their early years. And this we do by advocating for responsive caregiving, provision of a child care framework within the prisons, and policy change in terms of aftercare for children exiting prison. We do resource mobilization of items such as foodstuffs, clothing, toiletries, toys, and learning materials for the children. Apart from that, we run a program that is called Responsive Caregiving Training for officers, the wardens, and the nannies, the women who take care of the children. So we have a curriculum there for responsive caregiving for the nannies and the wardens. We do home tracing and reunification. We also have a component of family strengthening and linking the family and the child to psychosocial support. Once the child has been reintegrated out into the society, we ensure continuum of school by paying for them school fees outside.
And I understand that Clean Start has also constructed a children's kitchen in one prison and made some other physical changes. Can you describe that?
Yes, that is one project we are really excited about. However, that's just one prison. It came about when we realized that the children eat the meals, the same meals the women may eat. And the time that the food is cooked is quite early. When the food is being served, most of the time the food is cold, might be a bit hard, the texture. So we saw the need and we got partners who are able to support us. And then we built in a kitchen. So in that kitchen, the desired effect was to have a space where food can be made for children and it can be served warm. And we can also have a store where their grains are put there so that they can be able to access food coming in the right temperature. We have always wanted to do that to all the other prisons, but funds were not enough. That's still our desire, that every prison to have a facility that can cater for those needs. The children can have their meals cooked there. They can have storage for food for the children, because again, that is something that the government is not doing.
Have you noticed any trends regarding the ages, races, ethnicities, religions, or socioeconomic statuses of the families that Clean Start Kenya works with?
Yes. When we talk about the ages, young people of ages between 15 to 35 are majority in prison. And I think this is due to the harsh economic times that we are facing. There are no jobs around. So this is something that cuts across all board. When you talk about religion or age or races, because we are all affected as Kenyans, when you get into the prison mix, you'll find basically a balance of all these tribes. Reason being the harsh economic times that you're facing. People are jobless, and so the crime rates are going higher and higher day by day. So everybody is looking for opportunity to survive. Yeah, that's what I can say.
Earlier, you mentioned the founder of Clean Start Kenya, Teresa Njoroge, who was imprisoned at the Langata Women's Maximum Security Prison with her daughter, one-year-old daughter. How has her story and the lived experiences of other incarcerated women motivated Clean Start Kenya's mission and vision?
Well, that's such a good question. The fact that Clean Start exists, first of all, I would like us to know that it was born out of pain and outrage. Her life, she went through it herself. And the pain that she went through got her to be very out, you know, to be so mad about the issues that women are going through. But the goodness of it all, if you see her TED Talk, she says that I come as one, but I represent a million. Now we have noticed that the women who are inside have very, very unique stories. And that is something that we are really continuing with, because her story just opened a door to many unique stories of women who are there, some even for petty offenses, but are serving time.
This podcast series has focused on prison nurseries and, more broadly, circumstances where children reside with an incarcerated caregiver. In Kenya, how do prisons function specifically with regard to mothers and children? What facilities are available?
In Kenya, our prisons, with the little resources that they have, they do their best. But the conditions inside, not very pleasant. And you find that in some prisons, the women share the same quarters with their children, those who are in remand, and even those who are already sentenced. Where there is no space, they all share the same room. So in such a situation, you find that diseases can be, you know, become part of the day-to-day life. The children are exposed to so much vulgar language and a lot of trauma. So we only have a few prisons who are a bit, you know, the ones that are in towns, we call them the elite ones. But those that are outside there, you find they don't have kitchens, they don't have play areas or learning spaces. So when they do not have this area, sometimes they have to look for schools outside. So that's the kind of situation that we have around.
And what are the eligibility requirements for mothers who want to have their children with them in prison?
In Kenya, if a lady was pregnant and she was still serving time, she has the right to continue. She will give birth and can stay with the child there up to 4 years. Or during arrest, when she has been when she's arrested and she has a small child, if she does not have somebody that she trusts, if the child is below 4 years, she can choose to go with the child and serve her sentence with her child. The child has to be between 0 and 4 years. After 4 years, they are not allowed to be within the prison spaces. They are either taken to the children, CCIs, children institutions, if their family members are not able to come and take them in. That is what the government has passed, that if for a mother to stay with a child, the child has to be between 0 to 4 years.
So you've talked a little bit about the conditions that mothers and children are experiencing. What's life like for children once their mother has finished her sentence and she's no longer incarcerated? What kind of obstacles do these children face?
The first obstacle is the reintegration gap. The transition coming out of prison to the society. Majority of these women, when they come out, you realize that some of them, when they're coming out, they find their homes. Like if they had their husbands, some have left or remarried. If they had houses, maybe they were locked by landlords because they were not able to pay rent. So majority, and some even end up sleeping in the streets. For those who find it quite difficult, they go back to prison. They just commit another crime to go back to a space where they are familiar with as their comfort zone, which is very unfortunate.
So turning to a slightly different topic of the law, have any national or continental laws, such as those from the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, had any practical effects on the treatment of children in prison? And what about international laws, such as the Bangkok rules?
Here I must say that I applaud my country. They have been on the forefront in all these laws. African Charter on the Rights on the Rights and Welfare of Children, the Bangkok rules. We have even had a policy that our president has passed into law for children of incarcerated parents. They all draw from international rules. Apart from just being parties, we have used those international rules to bring out policies. And this one specifically is for children of incarcerated mothers. It was just launched last month. So we are happy about that, that as a country, we have taken a step forward. We are also currently working on guidelines that will help for reintegration process of that child who is serving, who is with the mother in prison.
Can you say a little bit more about the guidelines for reintegration?
So this year, Clean Start and a few other stakeholders got together, and we kept advocating for, you know, the children to be treated right. But it came to a point where we spearheaded the policy matter, and we found favor with the authorities, and we started working on the policy document with other stakeholders. This is not just about Clean Start, it's about having a multi-sectoral approach. And when we got together, the work began to work on the policy, and it ended. So we realized the policy cannot work single-handedly. We needed guidelines that work together with it so that the process or the infrastructure can be able to facilitate working with children and mothers in prison in a way that will have impact.
Do you have a goal for when that will be achieved?
The policy is already out, and the timelines, we expect that for the guidelines, we expect that anytime this year, we should be having the guidelines. So that is where we are at as Kenya. We are happy that we've made that first step. And once we have these guidelines, we are hoping that then implementing matters concerning children and women of incarcerated mothers will become much more easier.
That sounds like a really important innovation. Oftentimes, these kinds of policy and law changes are driven by organizations. What are the main organizations working within prison nurseries and advocating for incarcerated mothers and their children in Kenya?
Yes, as I said, we thought that this was not just about us, because it came from a place of pain and outrage, but many stakeholders saw the need and the gaps that were there. So we managed to work with a number of stakeholders. We have worked with Kenya Prison Service. They have been our major partners. We have worked with the Ministry of Education. We have worked with Ministry of Health just to see that the health component is also taken into consideration. We have had our probation and aftercare work also. We have had Kenya Pediatricians Association. They are our partners, and actually currently they're also going to do a research for children just to talk about health issues that could affect children while in that environment in prison. We have an organization called Kidogo. Kidogo is an organization that trains on responsive caregiving. So they are the ones that we have developed a curriculum for, a curriculum that we use to train the officers and the women who have children within the prison, the ones who take care of the children. There is an organization called Faraja, Nafisika. We have worked with Ford Foundation. They have been our big, big partners. And also the Commission of Jurists, just to mention but a few.
CIC as an organization is committed to supporting the best interests of children. Do you think that the way that prison nurseries in Kenya are currently conducted succeeds at keeping the best interests of the child in mind?
I would say that there is need for improvement. As I've said, we have pushed for the policy. The policy is out. We are working on the guidelines. Yes, implementation might be a bit slow because we need these documents. So, and on the ground, all the different stakeholders are doing their bits. Those who are able to train officers are able to train. Those who are able to provide resources for children are doing so. So we still have a lot to do. And considering the conditions of the prisons, some of them still, we still are advocating for play areas for children. We also want kitchens around so that these children do not have to feel like they are in an unsafe environment. So there is quite a lot to do, I agree.
So play areas, kitchens, and safety sound like key objectives. What about alternatives to children and their mothers staying together in prison? Are there any other alternatives in Kenya?
Yes, we do have alternatives to imprisonment. We have diversion. They can also be bailed out. We have community service orders, alternative dispute resolution. However, the challenge here is that very few clients or women know about these alternatives. Therefore, they end up serving time in prison. And another hindrance would be poverty, not being able to even afford a lawyer. So in that respect, these alternatives are there, but very few people know about them. So there is need for them to be informed and educated of the alternatives available.
You mentioned several improvements you're hoping to see. Are there other changes Clean Start Kenya would like to see in Kenyan prisons, policies, or issues surrounding incarceration of mothers with their children?
First and foremost, we are looking at, first of all, using the alternatives. We are telling ourselves that we don't want people who have committed petty offenses to be behind bars. So these alternatives would really work in those cases. We would want it to be like the last resort for a woman to go in with their child. So we are, our biggest objective is to even empower our women to know the alternatives that are available so that they can use them. They do not have to go and serve their sentence. And for those who are there, we educate them. We work with other organizations to educate them on their rights and just empower them while they are inside so that when they come outside, they are able to start from somewhere. We also would want to have more safe houses because of the stigma. When they come out, people are not ready to receive them. Therefore, we find that that recidivism rate is higher because when they feel that they have not been accepted in the community, then they choose to go back. And that is why Clean Start has the circles of healing where these women can come, being a safe space, they can come and talk about their issues and feel that there is a community of people who are like them. And inside there, they can be empowered to be able to do their businesses, create other goals for their lives, and move on. So that's our bigger goal.
What advice do you have for CIC as we navigate the topic of prison nurseries in the United States?
First and foremost, I would say thank you for having these conversations. These are very rare conversations, and especially in our continent. I would ask that you share best practices that are done globally so that other nations can learn from those best practices. You can also share information, data available concerning children of imprisoned mothers or imprisoned parents, so that it's a space where we can learn and exchange ideas.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today? And please tell us how listeners can find out more about Clean Start Kenya in order to support your important work.
I would like CIC to continue with these very crucial conversations, because every change begins with a conversation, so that it doesn't become a foreign thing to talk about issues of imprisonment. And for people who would want to find out more about Clean Start, we have our website, that is www.cleanstartkenya.org. We have our Facebook page, Twitter handle, and LinkedIn. They can also visit us. Like when you come to Kenya, we are in Westlands, School Lane, 31st. So you are all welcome to come and visit us and see us. And should there be those who would want to support us in any way, they are most welcome. We do donations to the prisons. We take their clothes, soap, diapers, just to keep the children away from cold so that they can be able to withstand those harsh situations. Sometimes we take grains and clothes to different prisons. So we will appreciate that help. If we have people who would want to provide mentorship or apprenticeship to the women, they are most welcome. Our team is still young. We are still building our capacity. When I came to Clean Start, I didn't know so much, but my working through the years, I have continued to build my capacity. And therefore, it's a need for those of us who are working, because we have quite a number of women who have come out of prison and are working in the same team. So those are some of the areas you can come and plug in. You can donate laptops. We do trainings through virtual to all the prisons. So far, we are only able to reach a small number of prisons. You can donate food stamp or dignity packs for children and women.
Terry Nyaoro, thank you for joining me and sharing with us your work and advocacy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Children of Incarcerated Caregivers International Prison Nursery Podcast. We're your hosts, Paul Dosh and Barbara Fry, advisory board members of Children of Incarcerated Caregivers. To learn more about our organization and view additional materials, documents, and research from this episode, you can visit our website at cicmn.org. This podcast was created with research from our student collaborators, McKenna Haas and Olivia Hudson. Episodes contain original music by David Smith and production by Brian Carnell. Don't forget to tune in to the next episode. We hope to see you there.